At least 23 people have died and 3,500 structures have burned in the wildfires sweeping across Northern California. An estimated 170,000 acres have burned so far, and authorities have ordered evacuations in a number of towns. To get a sense of the scope of what's happening there, I'm joined by Don Falk. He's a professor in the School of Natural Resources and the Environment at University of Arizona. He studies fire history and ecology. And Don, I want to ask you first off, are you surprised by what you're seeing in Northern California?
No, big fires in California are not a surprise. They happen on a very regular basis, and they represent the confluence of wind and temperatures and fuels and human ignitions. People contribute a lot to the way these fires burn.
Oftentimes, it seems, in California and Arizona and elsewhere, when we see fires like this and hear about fires like this, we tend to see and hear about them maybe near cities and towns, but not so much in cities and towns like we're seeing in Northern California. Is this something new that we're seeing now?
It is true to see part of a fairly developed area like this burning. It's shocking, but it's no more shocking in a way than to see fires that have burned through Colorado Springs or the Oakland firestorm in 1991 that many people remember. Fires do burn into these areas, and the reason for that is that, of course, we love to be close to nature. We love to build our houses right up to the edge of a national forest or a national park or a grassland. And the problem is that those natural areas have fire. Fire is an inherent part of how ecosystems work all over the planet. And so we really can't be surprised when this intermix between development and housing and wildlands turns flammable.
So in your mind, then, this is maybe in some way similar to, for example, fires in Arizona when people are building sort of, you know, second houses out far in the forest. In some way, at least, what's happening in Northern California, is, it sounds like you're saying, is kind of in that same vein.
Yes, this development characteristic in the West of building houses close to natural areas is very much part of the equation here. This is partly about land use. Also, remember, when you build a house, think of a house from a fire physics perspective. A house built of wood is a very dense concentration of fuel, and fuel is basically packaged energy. So it's very hard to find in nature a concentration of energy that is as dense as somebody's house. That's why when a house starts burning, it doesn't just burn for a minute or two, it can burn for hours. And that puts off a lot of heat. The burning characteristic of these developments is very, very unusual. And essentially, once they start going, there's no way that that can be stopped.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if fires behave differently when they are in sort of an urban or suburban setting like this as opposed to nature. It sounds like they, in fact, do.
Yes. Fires burning through a development like this burn very differently from a wildland fire. Wildland fires generally burn fine fuels, meaning grass, pine needles, small branches, small shrubs, and even in a crown fire, mostly burning the foliage of trees. And that's the way wildland fires burn, and as a result, they move very quickly. They often burn faster than a person can run. But these heavy fuels, which are what the timbers are that a house is built of, burn very differently. They don't burn with a rapid rate of spread. They start to burn, and then they burn in one place for hours, and they throw off an immense amount of heat. And in fact, once fires in a development like this get going, it's really the houses that are spreading the fire from one house to another.
So does that make it more likely, then, that once a fire like this gets into a town, that the rest of the town becomes more susceptible to also burning?
A very big part of why these fires burn the way they do and they spread the way they do is the wind. Now, let's remember, California has just been through a long, hot, dry Mediterranean summer. There's nothing abnormal about that. High temperatures, low relative humidity, ever since the winter rains began. So that part of the equation is not unusual. But every now and then, we get what are called Santa Ana winds. And these are much more prevalent in Southern California. We associate them with the fires outside of Los Angeles and San Diego. But Santa Ana winds can happen in other parts of California as well. And these are hot, dry winds heading out of the mountains, and they can push a fire very, very quickly in pretty much any direction. So these wind-driven fires are very difficult to control, and that's a big part of what we're seeing here. We had gusts of up to 40 and 50 miles per hour. That's a lot of wind to push a lot of heat.
All right. Don Falk is a professor in the School of Natural Resources at the University of Arizona. Don, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks very much.